The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh, yeah. Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. Let me start off by saying I hope everyone is doing well. These are scary times, aren't they? And speaking of scary, this actually is a perfect segue to my first story here. I want to talk about Hillary Clinton for a second. She made a remark on Twitter. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go and pull this up and get you the remark directly, because sometimes there are things that I say on this show that seem so fantastic and so incredible that I want to give you direct proof so that you can look it up yourself and see it for yourself. So remember, this is directly from Hillary Clinton's Twitter. And she writes, well, first she retweets a news article from the New York Times. The U.S. now leads the world in confirmed coronavirus cases. And then she writes above that, he did promise America first. Wow. What a nasty woman, huh? What's wrong with that lady, huh? She's got a real problem. So this is her official account. This was tweeted out yesterday, March 27th, at 1:53 p.m. And it's just astonishing that she would do that. Well, if you look at the comments right below, the first person who writes is a blue check mark, which means he's verified on Twitter, Caleb Hull. And he wrote, this is why you aren't president, and he is. Man. And that's exactly right. You know, I mean, it's just ice cold, man. She is ice cold. But hey, you know, a lot of these people who say that they care, that's how they are. That's where they stand. They hate Trump so much, they are not even thinking about collateral damage, or even when it's brought to their attention. Here, listen to Bill Maher. So I told you last week that Bill Maher said that he wished for a recession. This was like a year and a half ago now, I think. He wished for a recession so that we could get rid of Trump. You know, even after he took a spit storm for that, he still insisted that he's correct. And again, if you don't believe me, I have audio, okay? What the kids call receipts. I've got receipts. Listen.
I've been hoping for a recession. People hate me for it, but yeah, it would get rid of Trump, so you shouldn't hate me for it.
I mean, recessions are really bad. People lose their jobs and their homes.
I know.
And we shouldn't wish
it. It's worth it.
Do you hear him? It's worth it. What a jerk, huh? You know, it irks them so much because they didn't believe that Trump would get in. And I mean, I don't blame them for that. But they fought so hard against him getting in, because then when it looked like they were going to be wrong about it, they're like, oh, I can't be wrong. We can't elect Donald Trump. No, he's a joke. He's a reality show, a TV reality show star. Even before that, remember, he was famous. And I don't know, maybe they didn't want to see one of their peers become president. You know, I mean, they were mad at Reagan when he got in, and now they're mad at Trump. And Trump largely agrees with them. Trump is more of a liberal than most people will say. And I say most people because the Democrats don't want to admit that they agree with him on a lot of stuff. And the Republicans don't want to admit that he's kind of a rhino in a way. I mean, I know he's jumped behind the Republicans, but I mean, he hasn't stopped the wars. His spending is sky high. So I like him better than Biden and better than Clinton. But in a lot of ways, he is pretty liberal. You would think the Democrats would like him a lot. And yet, they rail against him so hard, and these TV stars are so mad at him, and the news press is so mad at him, because they all tried everything they could. They threw everything at him to keep him from getting in, and he still got in. And that just grates them, I guess. It's like he hurt their souls somehow. He's made them feel powerless. And they just can't get over it, and to wish for his failure. You know, I can understand some pettiness, all right? You know, we all have it. But to say it out loud, to actively wish for a recession, and then a panelist says, well, you know, you're right, but we shouldn't wish for a recession. And then Bill Maher says, it'll be worth it. You know, keep that to yourself, man. You know, we all have our flaws and faults, but to display them so openly like that and not be ashamed of it, like Hillary Clinton, well, he did promise America first. And then they accuse Trump of being, you know, tasteless. I mean, he is in a lot of ways, but in a way that is amusing, I suppose, in a way that is, you know, sometimes you got to put your head in your hands with some of the things that he says. It's like, you know, he's not acting presidential, and I get that. But look, all the targets that I can think of right now that he's attacked have attacked him first. He's had a reason for it. And even though I think his behavior is juvenile a lot of times, to say something like Hillary Clinton just said, that's ridiculous. It's out of character in one way, but in another way, it shows what she really thinks. And people don't like it. Trump's approval rating right now is the highest it's ever been. And it is driving them crazy. You know, in all this time, there was nothing that they could do to bring him down. So you have people like Bill Maher, and they wish for a recession. Well, they got it. I mean, this crash is perhaps the worst ever, other than the Great Depression. But as far as like a sheer point drop, this is the most that there's ever been, I believe. And yet, his approval rating has gone up. Isn't that amazing? Well, you know, I have a couple of theories as to why this is happening. And one of them is the fact that, you know, people do unite behind the president in times of crisis. Even an unpopular one like George, you know, W. Bush, they hated him. They said he was evil. They made plays, you know, pretending, showing his demise. And yet, when 9/11 happened, the country rallied behind him. Now, there's another big reason why I think that Trump's popularity has gone up. And that is because he is getting to make these nightly speeches, daily speeches. And they have been broadcasting them so that everybody can see him on a daily basis. And even people who don't like him have been watching, because he's been disseminating information on the latest happenings on this coronavirus thing. And so they've gotten a chance to see him speak and see the press ask him questions and see him react to the questions and give real, unabashed information. So it's a little different than what the media usually does, where they take an out-of-context soundbite and play it over and over and over again. There are still people, a lot of people, they still believe that Trump was saying that there were good people on both sides, meaning the people who showed up at the at that rally on this side of well, of course, Trump was talking about people who wanted to keep the statues up and people who wanted to bring the statues down. But the media made it sound like he's talking about the white supremacists who came out in protest. And he wasn't talking about them. And he explicitly mentioned that he wasn't talking about them. And he repudiated their participation time after time. And yet they do not play those sound bites. They don't play that part of his speech. They cut it out, and they only play out of context the part where he says there were good people on both sides, and then they misrepresent what he was talking about. And they've done this uncountable times with things that he has done and said. So in many of the public's mind, Trump is this monster that they've painted him to be. But then, now think about that. So you have that painted in your mind, and you're like, oh, I don't want to watch this guy, but I have to, because he's got the information. We got to watch him and see what the latest developments are on this situation. So they watch him, and they find out he's not only not as bad as the press says, but in a lot of ways, he's actually pretty good. You know, back when the debates were on, a lot of Democrats wouldn't want to watch the Republican debates. They didn't care about it. And so anything that the media said about Trump, they would take the media at their word. But now that they, in a sense, have to watch him, and the ratings for the media are sky high every time he does one of these things, they see what he's all about, and it looks like a lot of people are liking it. His popularity keeps going up since these briefings have been happening. Where's Joe Biden? Well, he's coming out with these lame live streams that are terrible. I saw an embarrassing interview with him on MSNBC. And where's Bernie Sanders? Bernie Sanders is just not being covered because the mainstream media does not want him on air at all to challenge Joe Biden. And so he's doing these live streams that are actually pretty decent. I mean, if you like Bernie Sanders. But the media has not been effective against combating Trump's rising popularity. I saw another reporter lamenting that his popularity is going up, and she's mad about it. How on air can you show your bias like that? It's insane the place that media has gotten to today. And I'll tell you, one of the effects that this virus is going to have, of the many that it's going to have on the economy, is that since people can't leave home, they're thinking, hey, you know what I can do? I can be a YouTube star, right? So all of these people now are flooding channels on YouTube. And the media is who went, well, our ratings are going to go up because people don't have anything to do but stay at home or watch TV. Yeah, but people need to eat. So they're getting these, they're buying up equipment. You know, I saw these camera prices have gone up tremendously for these cameras that are relatively cheap and like, you know, $40 or whatever. Now they're over $100, probably because everybody is buying these cameras. That's what I'm assuming anyway. And everybody and their mother is getting online and trying to make money online and becoming commentators online. And so basically they're doing what the media has been doing. And if you look at any of the stars who have tried to put their own show on streaming media, YouTube, Facebook, whatever, Facebook Live, they're terrible at it. And it's so funny because they're supposed to be the talent, but they don't have the technical know-how to do this. You know, they don't have their thousands of dollars worth of camera equipment and engineers surrounding them and producers and things. So they are using their phones, and they don't even have good microphones on their phones. So it's amazing that you're going to get a shift of power of people who were the former stars. You know, we've been in this old media versus new media fight for a long time. But what's going to make the transition happen faster than people staying at home? Could you imagine if this had happened when we didn't have internet? You know, and we haven't had it that long. It's been within my lifetime. So you're going to see these massive shifts in viewing habits, in work habits, because the U.S. is so largely a service economy. And you're going to see a big shift in, I guess you could say, media stars and the way that their movies are distributed, everything. It's really fascinating. I mean, this is something that they're going to remember for generations to come. And it's only been a couple of months. And it's frightening, although the COVID-19 is a bit frightening itself, isn't it? Mainly because we don't have anything to combat against it yet. But, you know, there have been some drugs that have shown promise. I understand that a couple of days ago they started now testing these drugs out in New York. And so we're going to get the results of it. And if they're effective, they'll ramp up production And that's going to go a long way towards calming all of this stuff down. I know that they've skipped animal trials. They're doing human trials already for a vaccine to this. And they're also doing animal trials at the same time, which would be scary if you're the human who gets the trial. And then at the same time, like, I don't know, like your dog gets it or something. And then something happens to the animal, right? That you're like, oh, my God, I'm going to be in trouble. But, you know, hopefully the scientists know what the heck they're doing. I don't think they would inject it into a human without having been, you know, researched pretty darn good. So hopefully the humans make it through and the animals make it through and then all of us make it through. But until that happens, this is going to keep on increasing and making people scared. Let me give you a couple of stats. Now, this is off of Wikipedia, so you can take it with a grain of salt. And worse, this is from the Chinese Center of Disease Control. So we don't really know how accurate this is. But I'm going to give you this information because it's open to the public. This is February 2020. Age, this is the fatality rate by age. 10 to 19 years old, 0.2%. 20 to 29 years old. 30 to 39 years old, all 0.2%. 40 to 49 years old, 0.4%. 50 to 59 years old, 1.3%. 60 through 69 years old, 3.6%. 70 through 79, 8%. And then 80 and above, 14.8%. Extremely high fatality rate. And then it's talking a little bit about the number of people in Italy and how many of them had underlying conditions. So, you know, I am seeing scary stories. I saw a 16-year-old died from this, 17-year-old died from this. One of the spring breakers who was making fun of it, you know, got it, and she's coughing up blood and stuff, and a lot of other scary things, like a healthcare worker just found dead in her home with a child. And I know. Hey, I just, you know, the show just got interrupted by a public safety alert. Florida Surgeon General, stay home if 65 or above or have medical conditions. All follow social distancing. So that's pretty frightening. Life has become like a zombie movie, right? You know, the Confucius say, may you live in interesting times. Actually, I don't know if that is Confucius, because from my understanding, that expression is a curse. May you live in interesting times. Yeah, I mean, life would probably be more pleasant if we just existed and then blinked out and there was no blips in the radar, you know, no wars, no coronavirus-y things happening. But, you know, I'm still optimistic. You know, the H1N1 flu, the swine flu, that took, I think, over 18,000 lives. And that was in under a year. And that was without any social distancing or any of the stuff that we're practicing now. They said the worst of it would be in about 40 days. And then, I don't know, maybe they'll figure some things out. Maybe the scientists will save us and everything will be okay. And while I am worried about this virus short term, what I'm worried more about in the long term is the economy, because they have just unloaded over $2 trillion now in stimulus money. That's insane. And I know that they say that it's to, like, help people out and stuff, but And people definitely need help. You know, we think it's bad now. Wait until people don't pay their rent. Nobody's going to be able to afford their rent. And they're saying that I saw that a landlord on Facebook, he posted this in a group called Landlords Are Evils or something like that, because there's a segment now of society who's saying that landlords shouldn't get paid and that they're evil for wanting rent in a time of crisis like this. Guys, there's no free lunch, man. And this landlord is saying, I have a building with like 32 people in it. It's my only source of income. And they all got together and wrote a letter to me and saying, we're not paying you any rent until this thing is over. What do you do? He's not the only case. He's just a very visible one. And I really don't think that we're prepared for the effects of that. We're still used to normalcy. But if things don't get back soon, I mean, our hand is going to be forced. People have to work. And that doesn't mean that you don't care about old people and stuff. I'm just telling you a reality that a country of 325 million people isn't going to make it just sitting at home. Thank goodness for the internet that a lot of people can work from home and be able to deal with this. But if this keeps up, you're going to see real quick that you can say something's a right. You can say healthcare is a right, but that doesn't make it a right. You can say everyone deserves a living wage, doesn't give everybody a living wage just because you say it. You know, people have got to get paid for the things that they do. And what we're doing right now, printing money out of thin air, is a very dangerous thing. You know, the dollar was made the reserve currency of the world, meaning that most trades around the planet are done in dollars. Back, I believe, in the 70s, maybe even before that, when we were backed by gold, and now it's not backed by gold anymore. The reason that we're such a good currency, or had been, is because the dollar was stable. But now, with this inflation, heck, if they keep doing these stimulus packages, maybe even hyperinflation, and I'd hate to be, you know, considered like a nut for thinking that was possible, but but the housing, somebody's got to pay for it. The food, someone's got to pay for it. The military, somebody's got to pay for it. And a lot of the people who love socialism, and, you know, many of the progressives feel that we didn't even go far enough. They think that this is a sellout, and that we have to give more money. They're going to find out really quick why socialism doesn't work. We might be witnessing the end of an empire here. I said on the show the other week that until people can figure out what causes inflation, that we're not going to really be able to move significantly forward as a country and as a society. And you know what is causing inflation is the dumping of money into the money supply. And if you have the money right now and you want to buy something, I think that this is probably the time to do it and put it on a long payment plan. Because if this thing goes much longer, things that right now that you buy in dollars, you know, $50 is going to be worth $5. So, hey, buy something now, put it on a long payment plan, and save yourself some dough. Because, you know, if you throw a stone into a puddle, I can tell you that it's going to have a ripple effect. But I can't tell you how quick those ripples are going to move out. I can't tell you how fast or how long they're going to last for. But I think that you'd have to be blind not to see that we've got some tough times ahead. With people not working and just dumping stimulus money in the economy, it didn't work when Obama did it. And you might like Trump better, but it's not going to work when he does it either. And you know what, guys, I'm going to give you some advice, and please, you know, make up your own mind about this stuff, because I don't have any formal education about this stuff. I took economics in whatever for about 10 seconds, right? And I did terrible at it. And I've read a couple of books, but the truth is that I'm not an expert. I've never gotten paid for any advice that I've given on this topic. So, you know, just please, if you do what I say, you're probably throwing your money away. But here's what I would think, you know, just looking at the way that the world works for my lifetime. If they are devaluing the dollar by pumping money into the economy, and that means that you probably want to put your money into something that's going to hold its value, gold, oil, stuff like that. And, you know, I know right now because of fracking that the price of oil has come down, but no matter what happens in your whole life, oil's always gone up, it's gone down, it's gone up, it's gone down. If they're panicking because the price of oil is so low, that to me is probably a time that you would want to buy it because it's so low. And from what I understand, gold hasn't really moved that much lately, despite all of this uncertainty, which is really weird to me. So I would say you would probably want to put some money into those things and stuff that's going to hold its value. Well, guys, hey, you know what? The world is getting scary and scarier. Please take care of yourself. If you want to email me, you can do so, edman@email.com.